God will either give you what you ask for, or he will give you angelic strength to deal with what he wants.
Dr. Tony Evans says you can expect help from the angels when you put the will of the Father first.
So if you're waiting for God to come through for you, while you wait, say, thy will be done, angelic strength will be yours.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Because we have free will, we can demand our own way. But today, Dr. Evans says that if we want more help from the heavenly host, self-interest isn't in our best interest. Let's join him as he explains.
Today I want to look at specifically activating angels. That is, getting them to work for you. The activation of angels. That is, getting God to assign his angels to act on your behalf. We've already discovered in Hebrews 1:14 that angels are ministering spirits who are assigned to those who inherit salvation. That is, angels have specifically been given responsibilities of caretaking for those who know Jesus Christ. These invisible beings, which sometimes become visible based on God's particular will in a particular situation, are all around us. Because they're unseen, they can be easily taken for granted. But these powerful, awesome beings are critical for the program of God. And the reason is because this world is run by angels. So how do you get your angels working for you? I know when you get a new credit card, they'll tell you that by such and such a time, your card will be activated. Meaning if you use it before then or when it's deactivated because you haven't paid your bills, you can't use it. But not only that, you've got to use it the right way. If you go to the filling station, you know everything's electronic now, and you slip your credit card in. If you have it turned the wrong way, it won't turn the pump on because it wasn't put in right. You've got to be activated and you've got to be putting it in right in order for the spirit world to be at work on your behalf. And by activating, I simply mean positioning ourselves so that God can allow his agents, angels, to work on our behalf. Now, let me clarify something. I do not mean by activating the angelic world, you forcing the angelic world to do anything, because the angelic world has no obligation to you. Okay? Angels listen to their boss, and you are not he or she, all right? The demonic realm or the bad angels, the fallen angels, their boss is the devil, okay? The holy angels, their boss is Jesus Christ. You are not the employer of any of them. So therefore, you have no authority in the angelic realm on your own, none. The authority comes because you are in right relationship with God, and because of that, he is predisposed to designate angelic activity on your behalf. So it is positioning ourselves so that God can put angels in motion on our behalf. That's what I mean by activation. To position ourselves so that God can put the angelic world or the elect angels, the holy angels, at work on our behalf. Now, I'm going to tell you how to activate angels using one word, and then I'll basically break down that word. You activate angels on your behalf through worship. Now, the theology here is very simple. Angels were created for the worship of God. And when we join them in doing what they do best, God activates them on our behalf. It's as simple as that. Turn your Bibles to Isaiah 6. In Isaiah chapter 6, it's a bad day because King Uzziah has died. Now, that may not mean much to you, but it meant a lot to Isaiah, because under King Uzziah, Israel had finally flourished. It had finally come in its own. It had finally become a power to be reckoned with. It had finally taken wings to soar. And yet, Uzziah had died. Now, I know as I speak to you right now, some of your Uzziahs have died. And the hope you were placing in that thing or that set of circumstances is no longer available. When your Uzziah dies, join the angels. That's what Isaiah did. Because it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim, one of the branches of angels, stood above him, each having six wings, and with two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. Now guess what they're doing. And one called out to another, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Let me cite the first area of worship that activates angels, and that is the area of praise. And when Isaiah goes to the temple on earth, he is transported to the temple in heaven. Guess what he sees? He sees angels, seraphim. And guess what he sees these seraphim doing? Doing in heaven what he came to do on earth, worship. And whenever you and I go to worship, we join angels because that is nonstop activity. So he goes into worship. Something happens, verse 4, the foundations of the threshold tremble at the voice of him who called out. And now the most spiritual man in Israel, the prophet Isaiah, says what? Woe is me. What made him feel woe? That word woe means undone, or I'm coming apart at the seams. That's what woe means. I'm literally coming apart at the seams. I live among an unclean people with unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then when? After he joined the angels in worship, after he let worship define his circumstances and not what the newspaper said about Uzziah to define his circumstance, guess what? The angels move. Verse 6, then one of the seraphims flew to me, and a burning coal in his hands, which he had taken from the altar with tongs, and he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven. He got purified in the temple. In other words, when he went to worship God, God gave an angel the responsibility of putting hot coals to his lips in order to clean his life up. Why? Verse 8, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. Now he gets a mission. He now finds out what he's supposed to do with his life. He now finds out which direction he's supposed to take. He now finds out which area he's supposed to go in, because he went into the temple to praise the Lord. He went into the temple to see the Lord. He went into the temple to worship the Lord. He wound up joining the angels. God let the angels purify him so he could hear the voice of God directing him. When you need to know which way God wants you to go and you're unclear, worship. Praise is the mechanism of worship that led to angelic activity. Praise. A second area of worship that you need to know about is sacrifice. Sacrifice. What is sacrifice? Sacrifice is giving something up of value to you for God, in honor of God. Genesis 22, you remember the story of Abraham and Isaac. God told Abraham to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. And Abraham walks Isaac up the mountain. Isaac has a very wise question. He says, Dad, every other time we've come up this mountain, you've had something to sacrifice. I don't see anything today. Little did he know that he was it. Abraham said to him, son, the Lord will provide for himself a sacrifice. Now let me ask you a question. Are you willing to give up something of value to you to get something back from God more valuable than that which you gave up? Because that's often the test. So he gets up there, he ties Isaac on the altar, he prepares to take Isaac's life, and then the Bible says, and the angel of the Lord came and says, now I know that you fear me. There was a ram caught in the thicket all the time. Let me tell you something. God will send his angels with the answer to your prayers when he knows you're willing to make the sacrifice. A third way that you activate angels, praise, sacrifice. We've alluded to it already, but prayer. In Acts chapter 12, we said this earlier, you don't have to turn there, but in Acts chapter 12, Peter is released from prison miraculously by an angel because it says that the church was praying. In fact, the church was shocked that the prayer was answered. Now, God is sovereign and God will make the ultimate decisions, but don't let it be said in heaven that a lot of blessings were delivered by angels down to you on earth because you didn't pray or you didn't expect anything when you prayed. If you have a legitimate request and a legitimate need, then you give a legitimate prayer and expect a legitimate answer. Look at Daniel chapter 6, because some of you are in a lion's den. Some of your husbands are devouring you. Some of your wives are devouring you. Some of your bosses are devouring you. You're in a lion's den. Well, you remember, Daniel was in a lion's den. Look at the kind of man Daniel was, verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the document was signed to pray to, they couldn't pray to his God, he entered his house. Now, in his roof chamber, he had windows open toward Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God as he had done previously. So Daniel is a praying man. Notice something. Prayer does not keep him from getting thrown into the lion's den. People think because I pray, nothing should happen. No, because you pray, you're not alone when something happens. It's a big difference. So this man is now prayed up to God. He gets thrown into the lion's den. The king now comes and wants to know, did the lions eat him up? So verse 20, it says, and when he had come near to the den to Daniel, he, the king, cried out with a troubled voice. The king spoke and said to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you continually serve, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel spoke to the king, O king, live forever. He's in the lion's den. Verse 22, get this. My God sent his angel, and they have not harmed me, inasmuch as I was found innocent before him, and also toward you, O king, I have committed no crime. How did the lions lose their appetite? Angelic intervention, okay? Daniel could have tried all he wanted to close them lions' mouths, and that wouldn't have worked. Like a lot of us are doing everything we can to close the mouths of things in our lives that are devouring us, and it's not working. Just maybe God's angels can do a better job than you can. And if God's angels are going to do a better job than you can, it means you have to get God's attention. And the way to get God's attention is passionate prayer.
Well, Dr. Evans will come back in just a moment, but this seems like a perfect time to tell you about 2 great resources we paired together to help you dig deeper into what angels are all about. The first is a CD collection containing all 6 full-length lessons in Volume 1 of our current series, Angels, Good, Bad, and Ugly. But we're also including the study guide that goes with it. It's the perfect way to deepen your personal devotions or to dig into this important topic with your care group, Bible study, or Sunday school class. Best of all, for a limited time, you can get this Angels study package as our thank you gift when you support our work right now with a contribution of any size. This offer won't be available for long, so visit us right away at tonyevans.org or call our 24-hour resource request line at 1-800-800-3222 for details before time runs out. I'll have our contact information again for you a little later on. But right now, let's get back to our lesson. Here's Dr. Evans.
If you have an impossible situation in your life, if you have a situation that you cannot take care of yourself, as most of us do, just maybe God can do a better job than you can through his angelic host. And so it's prayer. Please notice, even Jesus understood this because Jesus had to function as a man. Luke chapter 22, verse 41. But look what happened. Jesus is in the garden, and he withdrew from them, verse 41 says, about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, saying, Father, if thou art willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but thy will be done. Now, that's a whole sermon on itself. Let me just say a word here before we go on. That's how you pray. He was facing something he didn't like and didn't want to face, and he asked God to remove it. But then after he asked God to remove it, he says, not my will, but thy will. In other words, this is what I want, but what I want more than what I want is what you want for me. Tell God what you want when you pray. And that means you can't pray, bless me today, Lord. That is a wasted prayer. Okay? That's a wasted prayer because you haven't asked for anything. And let me tell you something. General prayers get general answers. Tell God what you want. Jesus was saying, let this cup pass from me. What cup? This cup of suffering that I'm getting ready to enter into, going to the cross. Let this cup pass. I prefer not to have to deal with this. But not my will, but thy will be done. Now, I know what you're saying. Well, suppose it's his will to do his will and not my request. Step in, angels. Verse 43. Now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. Let me tell you what God will do. Always one of two things. God will either give you what you ask for, or he will give you angelic strength to deal with what he wants. Sometimes people praise God because I asked God for this and he gave me this. But there's another kind of praise. And that kind of praise is, I asked God for A, he gave me just the opposite to what I want, he gave me B, but in giving me B, he gave me the strength to deal with the B. God will either give you what you want or give you angelic assistance to deal with what he has for you. And Jesus was strengthened by an angel. You say, why would Jesus have to be strengthened by an angel if he's God? Because he's functioning as man. So this applies to man. So if you're waiting for God to come through for you, while you wait, say, thy will be done. Angelic strength will be yours to strengthen you, to help you to deal with the wait or the denial, whichever God has in mind. Next, fourthly, this is a key one. Part of worship that gives you angelic assistance is submission. Submission. Angels always, always, always operate under authority. Submission means coming underneath the appropriate authority. You will never, never, never get angelic help from God if you're bucking legitimate authority. To put it another way, if you're a child bucking the authority of your parents, when you pray to God, you won't get angelic assistance from God. If you are a wife bucking the legitimate authority of your husband, then when you pray, you will never, never, never get angelic assistance from God. If you are a wife bucking the legitimate authority of your husband, then when you pray, you will never, never, never get angelic assistance from God. If you're a husband and you're bucking the legitimate authority of Christ over you, then you will never, never, never get assistance from God's angelic help for you. Because angels only operate under authority. And they know when we are or are not operating under authority. I mentioned this before, but let's turn to it this time. Acts 19. Let's look at verse 13. But also some of the Jewish exorcists, people who exorcise demons, who went from place to place, attempted to name over those who had the evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. And the seven sons of one Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. And the evil spirit answered and said to them, I recognize Jesus and I know about Paul, but who are you? And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them and subdued all of them, overpowered them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. This is what you call a whipping. My point is that the angelic realm knows when you're functioning under authority. And they knew that this person had no authority to be doing what he was doing. If you're not under authority, here's the principle, you do not have authority. That's the principle. And many Christians are powerless because they're not under authority. No, under authority, you don't have authority. You have to be under authority in order to get authority. This is a powerful principle. That's why Michael in Jude chapter 9 told Satan that it is by the power of God that I resist you. He recognized authority. Now, listen to me. Always, always, with authority comes responsibility. Authority carries responsibility and follows responsibility. So if you're not fulfilling your responsibility, you cannot exercise authority. Look at what James chapter 4, verse 7 says. James 4, 7 puts it this way. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Most people start that verse with resist the devil. No, submit to God. Come under authority. Why? Because until you're submitted to God, you won't have the power to resist the devil. Submit to God first, which gives you the power to resist the devil, which the devil can't handle because you're now operating under God's authority. So when you're facing something that's impossible, the first thing you do is not act in your own strength. The first thing you do is to submit to a greater strength. Submit to God. Let me say one other thing in closing. A fifth thing is your witness. Luke chapter 12, verse 8 and 9. If you keep in quiet about Jesus Christ, he ain't not going to send any angels to help you. And I say to you, everyone who confesses me before men, the Son of Man shall confess him also before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men, he will be denied before the angels of God. Why didn't he just say, you will be denied before God? Or you will be confessed before God? He doesn't say that. He says you will be denied or confessed before the angels of God. Why? Because they're the ones who are going to be sent with the answer. So if you say, Lord, I'm sick and need a healing. Now, I know I've not brought your name up all year long. And I know that I don't want anybody else to know I belong to you but me and you, because this is a private sort of thing. And when they bring you up, I know I shy away, but I need you, Lord, like I've never needed you before. The angels are standing there waiting for their instructions about your problem. Jesus says, he denied me before men. So I deny him before the angels. In other words, no angelic assistance granted. But he says, if you confess me before men, you're not ashamed to be identified with me before men. You don't mind other people knowing that you belong to me before men. He says, then I will confess you before not just God, the angels of God. Why? Because they're the ones who are going to bring the answer. That's why. Psalm 103, verses 19 to 22. The Lord hath established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength. Who do what? Who perform his word. Obey the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all ye his hosts, who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, all ye works of his, in all places of dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I believe that's worship. Angels, bless the Lord. Now, what about you? Revelation 22, verse 8 and 9, last passage. And I, John, am one of the ones who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. I saw this angel was tough. I had to worship him. Verse 9. And the angel said to me, do not do that. Get up. I am a fellow servant of yours and of your brethren, the prophets, and those who heed the words of this book. Worship God. Don't worship angels, he said. I am your fellow, sir. I serve God like you do. It is in worship that angelic activity is dispensed to God's people.
Dr. Tony Evans, with insights today on how angels can be more active in our day-to-day lives. And if you'd like to get the complete full-length version of this lesson, check with us for details on the title, The Activation of Angels. Better yet, you can receive this lesson as a part of Tony's current two-volume series, Angels, Good, Bad, and Ugly. And as I mentioned earlier, we're offering the six messages in Volume 2 of this CD series and the accompanying study guide as our thank you gift when you support our ministry with a contribution of any amount. So contact us at TonyEvans.org for the details. Next time, Dr. Evans begins a study of the other side of the spiritual world. Take a look at why demons exist and how they fit into God's plan when you join us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative, restoring hope, transforming lives.